ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Salam dear listeners, and good morning from the most sacred place of Prashantalayam, from the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Radio's Eyes Bishu. Today is 5th July 2018 and it's been a month since the new academic year began in Prashantalayam. And if you recall, 3 weeks ago in June 2018, in this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I started a new series, a series to celebrate the 50 golden years of the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's university. Learning with love in Vrindavan. In July 1969, Swami started the Sri Satya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College in Vrindavan, which later metamorphosed into the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1981. And in that episode, on June 7th, 2018, I not only shared with you some details about the inauguration day of this college in Vrindavan, but more importantly, took you back to the roots of this college. And that is when I shared with you the story of the Sri Satya Sai Veda Pathashala, which Bhagwan started in 1962. And the main focus of Bhagwan in this institution was the inculcation of the tenets of Indian culture. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, Swami says, true knowledge is the knowledge of the self, and the knowledge of the self is what is contained in the scriptures. And the Veda Pathashala was completely suffused with learning the scriptures, learning Sanskrit, reciting the Vedas, and trying to assimilate what is there in these sacred texts and trying to put them into practice. So I shared with you the routine of the students who were there in the Veda Pathashala. And so we saw how that was the foundation for what slowly came up later. In 1968, Swami set up the Anandpur College, and now Swami combined the spiritual education with secular education. And a year after that was the turn of Vrindavan, immense college. And as you now listen to the story of the Vrindavan College, you will slowly see how this was the foundation now for the coming of the university. You know, it was during the days of the Vrindavan campus between 1969 and 1979 when Swami started the Prashantalayam campus. It is this period which set the tone, which concretized Bhagwan's idea of the regeneration of India's youth in tune with ancient India's ancient spiritual heritage. It was during this period that everything was set in terms of Swami's educational philosophy, faculty, alumni, teaching methodology, what should be the focus, what should be the approach of teaching, what should be the approach that should be there between the teachers and the student, what should be the relationship between the teachers and the student, what should be the association between the students and the teachers and between the students, you know, everything, what should be the focus of the college, how much importance should be given to sports, how much importance should be given to academic education, where they should merge completely, you know, and how they should be imparted, how the students should practice them, what are the activities that should be done in the colleges so that these learnings are actually put into practice. So everything sort of, this was an experimental phase in a manner of sorts, where Bhagwan was spending so much time with the students in those years. In the Prashantalayam College was not there, so all the boys were in Vrindavan, and Swami used to spend some year 9 months in Vrindavan. And that was the golden period of the Sri Satya Sai student community, the students who had the opportunity to study, they had in those years of Bhagwan very, very memorable times, very, very insightful times of staying with Bhagwan, learning with Bhagwan, basking in his love and learning, witnessing him as at close quarters. So this is what we will be focusing on in the next few sessions of this series. So I will have this series on the first Thursday of every month throughout this year. So in the coming episodes, we will be focusing on the cultivation of the hearts of the students, the way Bhagwan did it in these years, you know, between 1969 and 79. But today we'll go to the start of this college, how this college in Vrindavan came into being, the origins of the Sri Satya Sai Art, Science and Commerce College. And for this, I have to give you some background of Swami's association with this city, Bengaluru, one of the luckiest cities, I must say. And I think this is something really to be proud of for every Bangalorean, you know, because it was close to Puttaparthi, just 160, 150 kilometers away. Swami, when he was just 18 years old, came to this city for the first time. He was in Bengaluru in February 1944. And at that point in time, Swami stayed in the house of Sri Mavalli Ramarao near Lal Bagh. And he was there for 10 days. Now, this family was related to Karnam Subbamma. We know about Karnam Subbamma, the foster mother of Bhagwan. So Karnam Subbamma, her brother Papur Satyanarayana and Srimati Kamalamma, they travelled with Swami from Puttaparthi by a bullock cart to Penukonda railway station. And from the Penukonda railway station, they took a train and they came to Bangalore. So that was sort of the first time Bhagwan came to Bengaluru along with Karnam Subbamma, along with his foster mother. And they stayed in the house of Sri Ramarao, Mavalli Ramarao near Lal Bagh. There were very few relatives of Kamalamma, you know, and their friends in the city who visited Swami only out of curiosity. Who is this Bhat Raju boy, you know, who is proclaiming himself to be Sai Baba, who materializes things out of thin air and who cures people's diseases without any medicine. So all these news was in the air and people came to see Swami just to unravel who this mysterious boy is. So that is how the first visit happened. And then there were four more trips that Swami made to the city in 1944. And the people who came during this trip, they could not come again whenever Bhagwan came, because I remember talking to someone, a very old lady who had the opportunity of having Bhagwan's darshan in those days. And she says, you know, Swami is so handsome, so radiant, you just couldn't take your eyes off him. You know, even though there were no lights, or hardly there were proper electricity also, even in Bangalore in those era, we are talking about 1944. But, you know, if he was there in any room, he was like a ball of light. So that is the memory of people have of Bhagwan of those days. And so Swami's visits to Bangalore became frequent. He came almost every festival, and whenever he was going to Chennai, he would stop by in Bangalore. And with time, as devotees started increasing, a bigger place was needed for Bhagwan to accommodate the increasing crowd that were coming for his darshan. So slowly Swami started staying in the bungalow of some of the devotees' houses. So that is how Swami started staying in the residence of Sri Narasimha Rao Naidu and Sri Navaneetam Naidu in Chamrajpet. So this happened in the subsequent visits in 1944. Swami blessed these devotees' houses. And then later on, in 1945-46, Swami stayed in the spacious compound of Sri Thirumala Rao. It was on the St. John's Road. So that is when devotees started flocking for his darshan. And in 1946, 47 and 48, there was one Sri Ranjot Singh, who was the Inspector General of Police in Basavangudi. Swami stayed in those 3 years in the house of Mr. Singh. And also, there was the house of Sakamma. Now, Sakamma is someone, if you have read Bhagwan's early history, she was the main instrument in the construction of Bhagwan's Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, in the old, in the Pata Mandir, you know, building the first house for Bhagwan and Prashantilam, she was the one, you know, who did a lot. A very, very key person in Bhagwan's early avatarhood. So she was in Bangalore. I remember Swami narrating how Sakama was all the time telling Swami, you come to Bangalore and you stay in Bangalore, I will build a big mansion for you, or, you know, wherever you want, you know, if you are staying in Puttaparthi, it is so difficult for us to come, you know, and it is really very, even not safe for you, because, you know, the villagers were jealous and all that. But Swami said, no, I will not leave Puttaparthi, this is the place I am born, and, you know, and that is how Sakama then later, you know, bought land, and that's how the Path Mandiram came. So we have a lot of stories about Satama's human contribution to Bhagwan's earthly sojourn. So she had a house in Bull Temple Road, and Swami used to visit there between 1947 and 1950. And, you know, if you look at now the visits of Bhagwan, there are so many areas of Bangalore that Swami has actually stepped, you know. I'm talking about Bull Temple Road, I'm talking about Basavangudi, we're talking about St. John's Road, we're talking about Chamrajpet, and there was also Srimati Nagamani Purnaya, again, another very distinguished devotee. I talked about her when I did the series on Mrs. Ratanlal. Her residence was there in Richmond Road, and there was also the residence of Mr. Keshav Vittal Rao in Wilson Garden. And Swami stayed in Vittal Rao's residence during 1949 and 1953. People who are aware of the association of Mr. Vittal Rao with Bhagwan would know that it is his daughter who became the warden of the Anandpur campus, Jayama Madam, Miss Jayalakshmi Gopinath. Jayama Madam, you know, as a little girl in her teens, she saw Swami for the first time in her house in Bangalore, and that is how, you know, she developed that great connect with Bhagwan, and, you know, with time, she came and gave her entire life in his service. So this is how Swami's visits to Bangalore was happening during the 1940s and early 50s, and between 1954 and 58, Swami stayed in Sri Venkataraman and Sri Srinivasan's house. Now, these were two reputed auditors of the city. They had the opportunity to host Bhagwan. Their residences were located in Kumara Park. And, you know, if you look at these stories of people who were coming to Bhagwan at that point in time, amazing leelas. There was one K.R. Shastri, who was a young man working in the firm of Venkataraman and Srinivasan. And this man, who was a great devotee of Rama, when he saw Bhagwan, you know, he just felt that he is the same Rama come again, and he has such great love for Bhagwan. Swami also took him close, and he became a personal servitor of Bhagwan during his visits to Bangalore. And eventually that bond between Bhagwan and this Mr. Shastri grew very strong. There is a very beautiful incident where in April 1959, Shastri had to go to Pune to write an examination in accountancy. And before leaving, he went to Bhagwan for blessings, and Swami said, you have my abundant blessings. I will be with you all along. And so he went and he wrote the first paper. And after that, you know, just to take a break, he went to the railway station. Adjoining that, there was a park. So he just went and sat in the park there with a friend. And suddenly there appears a tall and fair and a big man, short grey hair on his head and old shoes on his feet, and, you know, his shirt was full sleeves and he had a pant, but they all looked old. And when that person started speaking, you know, there was a very mystical charm about him, and that person asked, where do you come from? And this Mr. Shastri said something, and then the old man started saying, you know what, I visit Bangalore quite often. I know Chamrajpet, I know Basavangudi, I know Kumara Park very well. This is what this old man is saying, and says that I have gone around the world, but there is no other country like India. I love India very much. This land is the treasure house of spiritual wisdom in the world. So all these things this old man is telling Shastri, and then goes on to say that, you know, I don't have anyone to call my own, but I love everyone. And then as the conversation, you know, went into 2 hours, and then eventually, you know, he said, you know, I have to go because there are so many devotees waiting for me. There are so many people waiting for me, and I have many responsibilities. You can sit here at leisure as long as you want. And then before leaving, he again looked at Shastri and said, never fail in your duties to your parents. However busy you may be, never forget God. A little devotion to Him will save you from terrible disasters. So all these messages came to Him, and when it was time for that person to leave, that person only said, "Oh, look at the time," you know, and he pointed to the clock. And when the eyes of Mr. Shastri went to the clock, and then when he turned around, this person was not there. He had vanished into thin air. And that is when he realized, oh my God, Baba had come. Swami himself had come, you know, in that Shirdi Baba form. I failed to recognize him. And, you know, he was feeling fire upon my intelligence. And then he came to Bangalore later on, and Swami had gone later to Madikeri. He met Swami in Madikeri, and then Swami asked, "Hey, what happened in Pune?" And then Swami looked at Professor Kasturi and said, "See, Pahapam, this fellow failed to recognize me." So there were so many such, you know, amazing instances. One thing also you notice is, you know, because Shirdi Baba, that form was so familiar in those days with people, Swami perhaps, you know, took the Shirdi Baba form just to reiterate in people that, you know, he's the same one, come again now. So this is how, you know, there was transformation happening. This Shastri later on became a very active member of the Satya Sai organization, and he was the district president of one of the districts in Karnataka. So this is how, as time passed, you know, Bhagwan's flock, so to say, had grown so much that no devotee's residence actually could manage the crowds that came for his darshan. And many of the devotees, they had to assemble braving sun and the rain on the roadsides, you know, wherever, in whichever, whosoever residence Swami stayed. And that used to always, you know, bother Bhagwan when you should look at the devotees, you know, and the pains that they've been going through just to, you know, have his darshan. And it is in this context that in 1st January 1958, Swami visited Whitefield, a small town then, 20 kilometers to the east of Bengaluru. And Swami spent with some devotees there, one whole day Swami spent in an orchard. And this orchard had fruit-laden trees, and on 23rd July 1959, Swami purchased this orchard because he really loved that place. It was a 20-acre compound on the eastern side of the main road, just to the north of this town. And Swami then ceremonially entered this place on 25th July 1960. And Swami called, this became an ashram once Bhagwan entered, that it became a spiritual abode. And Swami called this Nandanavanam. Nandanavanam, you know, which means the garden of delight, the garden of the divine son of Nanda. So this is sort of the genesis, in a way, of the Vrindavan Ashram. This is how Swami was created an abode for him in Vrindavan. And this rectangular plot, you know, it had hundreds of trees adorning it, and it resounded with the chirping of thousands of birds, with a small hillock covered with trees on the northern side. It really looked very heavenly. It was a small but attractive bungalow. All around it there were gardens. There was no other building around that place. There was only one outhouse adjoining the main gate at its southwestern corner. And Swami started staying in this place whenever he came to Bangalore after July 1959. So Swami stayed in Nandanavanam during those short visits to the city till the end of 1961. So 1959, 1960, 1961, Swami is in Nandanavanam. And when Swami started staying in Nandanavanam, when devotees started, you know, flocking there, they were looking for places to stay. At that point in time, you know, Whitefield was completely outskirts of the city. We are talking about, you know, 50s, you're talking about 60s, and it was all only jungle, and there were no facilities for devotees to stay when they came. There were no guest houses, very, very minimal, you know, places to stay, places to eat. So one devotee who was desperate to have Bhagwan's darshan during this time was Mr. Ramabrahmam. Perhaps the name itself rings a bell if you're following this episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, because I talked about him when I talked about the story of Mrs. Ratanlal, and in fact we are going to do again a very detailed story of Mr. Rama Brahmam in the future episodes of Outside Inside Deep Inside. So it was at this time in 1961 that Mr. Rama Brahmam wanted to have Bhagwan's darshan, and he came to Whitefield because Swami was in Nandanavanam. And now Rama Brahmam hailed from Kolavenu village. He hailed from Krishna district of Andhra Pradesh, some 30 kilometers from Vijayawada. His father was an agriculturist. Later on, Rama Brahmam also took to the same business. He was very successful. And in 1947, he went to a place called Ventrapagada, which was 25 kilometers from Vijayawada. There he saw a relative who had become a devotee of Shirdi Sai. And in fact, that relative had constructed a shrine for Shirdi Sai. And he started telling him about the leelas of Shirdi Baba and how after he returned from his visit to Shirdi, he was blessed with a girl child. And he was so happy that he named the girl child as Sai Talli, you know, as a prasadam, as affectionate name for a girl, who is a prasadam of Sai, you know, Sai Talli. And when Rama Brahmam heard all those stories, now he wanted to go to Shirdi, and that is how his journeys to Shirdi began. And when he returned from Shirdi, interestingly, he was also blessed with a daughter, and he also called his daughter Sai Talli. And after his visit to Shirdi started, his business prospered. Now he had 300 acres, 25 shifts of bullocks, 2 horses. And by 1952, he started a new company. He was now doing export business. So for those 10 years, you know, 1944 to 1952, Rama Brahmam grew as a very, very successful businessman. And it was during this time that, you know, one day he came to Hindupur, and then he thought, you know, he will go there because there was a bullock cart fair there, and he wanted to pick up some good bullocks for his business. And when he was in the bus, you know, Puttaparthi falls on the way, and there he heard people talking about this Baba, you know, about this young boy who says who's the incarnation of Shirdi Sai and all that. So when he heard that, you know, he got very, very curious, and he wanted to know, is it really true? So he forgot about, you know, buying his bullocks, and he stopped there, and he asked the way to Puttaparthi. They told, okay, go through Kadri, Mudikuppa and Bukkapatnam. So he did all that journey, and he reached Prashanthi Nilayam at that point in time, you know, 1953. And as soon as he reached Puttaparthi, you know, he reached the gate, 1953, as soon as he crossed the Gopuram gate and he started walking towards Mandir, Swami was coming in the opposite direction, and the first thing Swami said is, "Hey, Rama Brahmam, how are you?" And now Rama Brahmam was completely taken aback because it's the first time I'm seeing this Baba this boy that he calls Sai, and how does he know me? He's calling me by my name as if he knows me for years. And so he was absolutely puzzled, and then Swami immediately said, "Hey, why are you so surprised? Daily you offer puja to me only, no? I am that Shirdi Sai." So this was a very, very revealing moment for Rama Brahmam. He stayed in Puttaparthi for the next few days, you know, and he saw how Swami cured someone of a tonsil operation, how Swami was materializing vibhuti, how Swami was talking to people of different cities, different regions, and how each person was getting healed. Someone's business problem was solved, someone's personal life was restored. All these stories started hearing, and you know, and then he heard, you know, that people can actually offer Pada Puja to the Lord. And so he thought, why not I also do Pada Puja? So he bought, in those days, a Pada Puja kit used to be available outside the shops in Puttaparthi. You could ask Swami for this chance. So he went and bought this kit, you know, and so that kit would have flower, incense, tulsi leaves and so on. And he asked Swami if he can do the Pada Puja, you know, offer worship to his feet. And Swami agreed. There was, in fact, in those days, a Pada Puja room specially for that. And when he got this opportunity, so he was there doing this puja, and he did it with all reverence and, you know, all a feeling of awe, a feeling of devotion, a feeling of absolute amazement. And then as he was worshipping the Lord's feet, as he finished, finally he looked at Bhagwan, he raised his head to look at Swami, and now what does he see? When he looked up, he did not see the Swami, he did not see Satya Sai. In the place of Satya Sai, he saw Shirdi Sai, he saw the Sai whom he loved, the Sai whom he worshipped for 10 years, the Sai which has made him what he was. He saw complete form of Shirdi Sai, and that's it. When he saw Shirdi Sai, that was the last stone that was needed to make the pillar of his faith rock solid. That was the turning point of Rama Brahmam's journey to Bhagwan.
Shirdi Nivasa Sai Shankara, Shirdi Nivasa Sai Shankara, Shirdi Nivasa Sai Shankara.
So that is how Rama Brahmam's transformation happened. And in 1955, he went back, and now after coming to Swami, you know, his business grew even better. He started exporting to Belgium, and there was no stopping of his growth as a businessman. And he had now a Jeep, a Ford car, and so on. Business was doing really great. And that's how it continued, 1956, 57, 58. And unfortunately, in 1958, he developed umbilical hernia. Even before that, he had fallen sick for some time, and his son took care of him. And he recovered by Bhagwan's grace. But this time, when he developed this health issue, because it was a prolonged situation, many people took advantage of his absence, and there were people who were supposed to return the money due to him who defaulted. And this time, because he could not give much attention to his business because of his ill health, his exports suffered, and he lost a lot of money at this point in time. So this was one very low phase of his life, because everything he saw slipping out of his hand, everything that he had built for years. And in those days, you know, he had so much faith in Swami that for anything that happened, he should come to Bhagwan, take his advice, and only then take the next step, whether it was something to do with his business or with his family or anything to do with any member of, you know, his relatives. So that is how his connect to Bhagwan was. And it is in this context that he had come for Bhagwan's darshan to Nandanavanam in 1961. And as I was telling you, in Nandanavanam, there were no accommodation facilities. There were no facilities for people to even eat outside. That is how remote and desolate the place was. Swami's bungalow was the only place, you know, there were only trees around. It was largely a jungle area, completely outskirts of Bangalore. And so at that point in time, Mr. Rama Brahmam stayed 5 kilometers away from Nandanavanam in a place called Mohan Palace. Now this Mohan Palace belonged to one of his relatives, Goginneni Venkata Subbaya Naidu, and his family. They were the owners of the Mohan Palace. They were known as the Mica Kings of Andhra Pradesh. And at that point in time, you know, it was a 13-acre plot, 5 kilometers to the north of Nandanavanam. And because he had no other place to stay, and there were relatives here, so that is how, you know, Mohan's Palace was sort of a guest house for Mr. Rama Brahmam to stay close to Nandanavanam and have darshan of Bhagwan. So that is how he came to Bangalore. And when Swami was in Nandanavanam, Ramabrahmam was in Mohan's palace, and every morning he would go to Nandanavanam and stay the whole day with Bhagwan, and every evening, you know, he would come back again to Mohan's palace. He used to breakfast with Swami, have his lunch with Swami, have his dinner with Swami, and in the evening, the most interesting thing is, in the evening, when he used to come back, Swami himself used to walk that 5 kilometers along with Mr. Ramabrahmam, just to give him company and leave him at Mohan's palace. So Swami used to walk, just like, you know, we take a friend and go for a walk, every evening, 5 kilometers, as long as Ramabrahmam was there, Swami would walk that distance and drop Ramabrahmam at Mohan's palace. I mean, that was the love that Swami had for Ramabrahmam. That was the deep connect at that point in time. You know, his faith in Swami was being rewarded such enormously by Bhagwan at that point in time. And Swami then guided him. Swami said, don't start anything now. Your time is not good. And it was this relationship between Swami and Ramabrahmam that this Goginini family witnessed. And they heard from Ramabrahmam the stories about how Bhagwan is actually Shirdi Baba come again. They heard the stories of how Swami has cured him. They heard the stories of how Swami cured his son, how Swami has looked after every detail of Ramabrahma's family and the families of all his children. So all these stories that Ramabrahmam told the Goginini family, this is what prompted them to go and visit Swami. And that is how the connect between the Goginini family and Bhagwan began. And because the Goginini family had great respect for Ramabrahmam, because he himself was a very, very successful businessman. It's just that just recently something had gone wrong, but otherwise he was known as a very, very astute businessman. So when Ramabrahmam himself was talking so gloriously about Swami, that is what prompted the Goginini Venkata Subbaya Naidu family to go to Nandanavanam and visit Bhagwan. And that relationship was, in a way, the genesis of the coming of the Vrindavan Ashram. Now, the Mohan's palace, which belonged to the Goginini family, this was situated just next to the Whitefield railway station, and it was a well-planned area with a spacious bungalow surrounded by well-tended horticultural gardens, and there was a fountain, a pond, a winding avenue flanked on either side by many flower-bearing trees connecting the bungalow to the main gate. So it was again another Nandanavanam, but it was an expanded version of Nandanavanam. It was very picturesque because again there was again one bungalow, very beautiful old bungalow, but very spacious one, and all around it there were trees and there were these gardens and there was this walking path. So it was, and on one side, as you entered the compound, you could see a huge peepal tree on the right hand side, and there were two tile roofed cottages connected by a covered corridor on the left side. So when you looked at the entire thing, you know, it looked like a mini heaven. It had a very different charm of its own. And eventually, in September 1961, the Goginini Venkata Subbaya Naidu, he passed away. The elder person of this family passed away, and he had 3 sons. And Sri Venkateshwar Rao, Sri Seshagiri Rao, and Sri Mohan Rao. So these 3 sons who had visited Bhagwan along with their father, they were completely in love with Bhagwan. You know, after they went to Nandanavanam, they requested Swami to come to Mohan's palace, and Swami did accede to their request, and Swami came and stayed in Mohan's palace. Later on, you know, whenever Swami visited Bangalore on the request of these 3 brothers, and Swami in fact spent the summer of 1962 entirely in Mohan's palace. And you know, excellent arrangements were made for Bhagwan's darshan under the trees on either side of the avenue. And the service that these 3 brothers rendered to Swami to make his stay comfortable, to make arrangements for all the devotees visiting Swami. You know, Swami was very touched with their selfless service. And then there came a time when these three brothers, you know, inspired by their deep love for Bhagwan and looking at the relationship that Swami had with devotees, the way that devotees are longing for Swami and the way Swami is spending so much time with devotees and the way the place was, you know, facilitating this divine drama so beautifully, you know, they were inspired and were so touched by it that they said, Swami, you please accept this Mohan Palace. Why don't you make Mohan Palace your permanent abode? Please accept it. Please take it over from us. It does not belong to us anymore. And it was this love of these three brothers that Swami accepted this Mohan's palace as his own. But Swami did not take it free. You know, Swami said, no, if I accept the Mohan palace, then you should take Nandanavanam. You please, I am giving the Nandanavanam to you. And they did not want anything in return. But Swami said, no, no, you have to have that. You know, you're giving me such a big place here. You have to take Nandanavanam. So, and Swami did not stop with that. Swami said, no, Nandanavanam is a very small place. You know, Mohan's palace and this entire area is so huge. Swami also gave them cash, more than 1 lakh rupees. You know, we are talking about 1960s. So Swami gave Nandanavanam, Swami gave them enough money. And Swami said, no, you do whatever you want there. In fact, the three brothers, they set up a factory there, and it is called the Rao Insulating Factory. So that is how Swami accepted the area, what we now call as Vrindavan. You know, you do a little for the Lord. You can never ever do anything for the Lord without being rewarded 100 times and more. And that is what happened in the case of these Goginini brothers. And once the Mohan's palace was taken over by Bhagwan, Swami now rechristened this place, and Swami called it Vrindavan. You know, and the moment you hear the word Vrindavan, it only reminds you of the divine Leela of Krishna, of the gopis and gopalas. And that is the ambience that Swami created that. If you read the stories, if you listen to the tales of the students who were with Bhagwan during that time, the devotees who had the time to be in close proximity of Bhagwan in that point in time, Swami in fact had clearly even mentioned it in the letters to the student that he wants the students to develop that Madhura Bhakti, develop that love that Gopikas and the Gopalas had for Krishna. And so Swami, and because Swami was so free, Swami was like Krishna here, you know, playing with the children all the time, spending all his time with the students, molding them very subtly, playfully, giving them as much time as he can. So that is how Vrindavan came into, and doing all those leelas, you know, all the time, curing, creating, taking them out on picnics. There was a Gokulam there. So all these, the scene that was created in this place was highly one which took people back in times of Dwapara. That is how Vrindavan came into being. On 13th April 1964, there was a 3-day long function starting from that day to mark the inauguration of the ashram. And, you know, by that time, you know, between 1962 and 64, there were many aesthetic alterations that had taken place in the ashram after Bhagwan took over. And it was on a day which was the start of the Vasanta Navaratri, you know, 13th April 1964, when the inaugural function was held and many dignitaries and Vedic scholars and celebrated artists came from all parts of India. And that is how Vrindavan became the second home of the avatar. And as I said, Swami started spending a large part of his time in Vrindavan. And initially, you know, Swami used to give his darshans, you know, strolling up and down the venue, you know, as people sat on either side. But later on, as bhajan sessions started, you know, these sessions happened under the sprawling peepal tree on Sundays and Thursdays. And then there was a circular platform that was created surrounding, you know, on this huge trunk of the tree that surrounded this huge trunk of the tree. And there was a very beautiful marble idol of Venugopala Swami, you know, that was that Swami installed there. So the Krishna of Dwapara came to this land where Sai Krishna was doing his leelas, and you had this Tribhangi Krishna, Krishna in, you know, the dancing pose of Krishna with the flute on his lips. So that was the beautiful, charming Krishna that Swami installed in this shed, you know, which later on came to be called as the Sai Ram shed or the Sai Ram Mandap. There was a circular mandap with a roof of metallic sheets that came up under the tree. And so that was the beautiful way Vrindavan came into life. I was talking to Mr. Nanjunlaya, someone who came to Vrindavan in those days in 67, 68, and I asked him, you know, how it felt to be in Vrindavan in those days.
I don't remember to have seen Vrindavan in the earlier births, like Krishna avatar and all that. But I must have that experience, because when I saw Vrindavan, it brought that kind of love for Swami, that kind of approach for Swami, that kind of surrender to Swami. So it was very, very pleasant experience. Devotees would love to visit Vrindavan because of the very atmosphere there. Two rows of trees, people will be sitting there. The numbers were small. So that was the place where people get a little closer to Swami. Swami would be very indulgent and go from person to person, spend some time and all that. Once Swami gave me Vibhuti Prasadam, I took it, and then onwards I began attending more frequently Swami's functions. Very serene atmosphere, vast area. This was the Vrindavan. It was a very, very unique kind of atmosphere in Vrindavan.
So that was Professor Nanjundaya, who later on joined Swami's college there, and we know he became the controller of examinations eventually when the university started. So this is what how Vrindavan was in 1967, and we know in 1968 Swami started the college for women in Anantapur. So when that college for women started, and you know, Swami is visiting Vrindavan, it was during this time that there was one Dr. Varadachari, who was a RMP doctor, registered medical practitioner in those days, you know, who were certified by the government to practice. So he was 60 plus. He was living in Kadugudi area where Vrindavan is now. His son was a lawyer, and this Ms. Dr. Varadachari, along with another person who was the village head of Kadugudi, they went to Bhagwan and they made prayer to Swami, saying, Swami, in this area there are no educational institutions for all the rural children here. If you permit, Swami, can we build a school? It will be nice to have a school here. And Swami said, why school? I will build a college for you. And that is the genesis of the Sri Satya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College in Vrindavan. An architecture was brought from Mumbai who did all the design, and then from then on Swami took over completely. You know, that whole plan was Swami's complete involvement in the setting up of this college. One thing, you know, that to reflect on here is the avatar does not do anything on his own volition. The avatar only responds to prayers. The avatar, unlike a human being, has no karma. You know, he has no wishes, he has no desires. He is only a witness. He only is there as a Sakshi Bhutam, as Swami says. And he does not desire to do anything. There is no karma attached to him. But he only acts on the prayers of devotees. So everything that Swami has done, there is always a prayer, and he responded to that prayer. And in this case, you find Dr. Varadachari and, you know, this village head praying Swami. And that is when how Swami responded. Yes, it was a small prayer, and Swami, you know, converted it into a mountain of grace. But that is how the avatar works. The avatar cannot do anything on his own, because he has nothing to do, because he's just a witness, but he acts only for the sake of devotees. So that is how on June 9th, 1969, you know, Swami bestowed the privilege of unfurling this college to Sri Virendra Patil, the Chief Minister of Karnataka. And when he came, he said, Baba has come to resuscitate Dharma, you know, which is the foundation for the welfare of humanity. And he went on to say how this college will promote these ethical and spiritual values which are so needed for the youth of the times. And then you had Dr. V.K. Kokak, who was the Vice Chancellor of the University of Bangalore. Then it was to this university that this college was affiliated, and he called this the gem in the jewel crown of Bangalore University. So that is how the college inauguration day happened. In fact, Dr. Gokak said that it will set the pattern for college education, not only in academic field but also in the ethical and spiritual fields, because this is a college conceived, devised and completed by Baba's love, grace and wisdom. Brick by brick, plank by plank, Bhagwan has attended to its every detail. It is a lesson for all who seek to do sincere loving service. Here teachers and students have the unique chance of learning the art of achieving harmony and gaining peace apart from the intellectual attainments which the curriculum enjoins. So this is what Dr. Gokak mentioned on the inauguration day. And then when Bhagwan rose to speak, Swami said, this college will pay attention to providing for its alumni a complete education. Karma Marga, Dharma Marga, Brahma Marga. All the three, the principles of right action, right social behavior and spiritual advancement, all these three things will be inculcated in the students of this college. So that is how the inauguration of the college happened. The facilities were very basic then. The college was just a shed. If you have visited the Vrindavan Ashram where the current Kalyan Mandapam is, in that area there was one shed. Apparently there was one big hall and there was one room called the room number 5, which was, you know, one main area at that point in time. So there was this prayer hall, and behind that there were two small rooms, and those two small rooms are used for theory classes, and behind there was a chemistry lab. Then there were a few washrooms, and behind the washrooms were the library, a few more classrooms, tiny, tiny buildings, and there was a botany lab, a geology lab. If you visited the Vrindavan Hostel, you know, if you see there is a basement, it was a pond or a lake. So at that point in time, that was the place where the labs were there, and behind that there were two more classrooms. So there was little sheds, you know, a string of sheds one after another. So that is how, you know, in a very rudimentary way the college started. And Dr. Gokak, you know, in 1969 he retired from being the Vice Chancellor of the Bangalore University. And once he retired, he started staying in Vrindavan. Dr. Gokak was a major writer in Canada language. He was a scholar of English. He was the fifth writer to be honored with the Gyanpith Award in 1990 for his epic Bharata Sindhu Rashmi. Bharata Sindhu Rashmi deals with the Vedic age and is perhaps the longest epic narrative in any language in the 20th century. In 1961, government also awarded him with Padma Shri for his, you know, literary contribution. He was also the president of the Sahitya Academy between the years 1983 and 1987. He also served as the director of Indian Institute of Advanced Study in Shimla and the Central Institute of English in Hyderabad. So, very, very distinguished person, a literateur, someone who had wide experience in running educational institutions, who had a great flair for English and Kannada. So you had such a luminary who settled down in Vrindavan to guide the growth of this college. Another person who joined Dr. Gokak during this period was Mr. Suri Bhagwantam. Till December 1962, Suri Bhagwantam was the director of Indian Institute of Science. And then later on, he became the scientific advisor to the Minister of Defense. At that point in time, the Minister of Defense was Mr. V.K. Krishnamenon. And he was also, Dr. Suri Bhagwantam was the Director General of DRDO, Defense Research and Development Organization. And during his 9-year tenure, when he headed the DRDO, Dr. Bhagwantam was instrumental in setting up of a chain of laboratories for the Department of Missiles, Aircraft, Aero Engines, Combat Vehicles like tanks, electronic warfare systems, high explosives, underwater weapons. So he was someone, again, a lighthouse in the scientific community. So you had these two very, very eminent individuals who retired from the service in July 1970. Dr. Bhagwantam retired, and both of them now started staying with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. And Swami gave them this chance to witness the unfurling of his education mission. Because as they stayed with Swami, so they saw at close quarters how Swami was shaping students. They saw how Swami was putting into action the philosophy that he had been mentioning in his discourses. You know, how Swami wanted to bring back the glory of ancient India. How Swami wanted to bring back the Gurukula system in a very modern way. How Swami was deeply involved with every aspect of students' development. You know, there was no big hostel at that point in time. There was, again, just a dormitory where the current stores is, the cooperative stores in Vrindavan is. That's where there was the dormitory. So, there were two rooms. And on the top, there was a big hall. So that is a very, very basic facilities for hostel. Initially, there were only 3 students in the hostel. When the first year of the college, Sri Satya Arts, Science and Commerce College, only 3 students in the hostel. Well, the hostel had 3 students, but there were many day scholars. You know, as I was mentioning, the college, Swami set it up for the local people. So there were 300 to 400 students who joined for PUC, which means pre-university course, which is basically 11th and 12th grade. So there were 2 sections for each course, BSc, BCom, and BA. And a lot of devotees, children also started joining. There were also trains for people to commute from Bangalore and study because, you know, it's next to the railway station. So you had slowly a very basic hostel, a very rudimentary college infrastructure, but the college started. You know, Swami did not want to delay, and you had these 2 giants of science, one in science and another in education, guiding the institution. Even as Swami was showing the way, they were also witnessing all this in close quarters. And once Swami started the hostel, he needed a warden to look after the boys. So now, Swami wrote a letter to one Mr. Sundar Rao, who was the principal of Udupi College. Now, Mr. Sundar Rao was a very good professor of English. He was well-versed in Shakespeare and literature, Othello and all that. And he was, as I said, picked up by Dr. T. Madhava A. Pai. Now, Dr. Madhava A. Pai was the founder of Mahatma Gandhi Memorial College in Udupi, which started in 1949. The Mr. Pai was a very, very distinguished person. He is a great visionary who actually practiced plastic surgery, practiced surgery for 15 years. And then later on, you know, he started doing a lot for the poor. He set up the syndicate bank. Then he also set up many institutions. In fact, the place where he set up an institution called Canara Land Investment, you know, it was to help the poor people with finance. You know, it was called Manapalla in the local Tulu vernacular language, meaning mud pond, and which later on became Manipal, which is the modern name for the region atop the hill. He was the one, you know, who set up the Manipal Institute of Technology, Manipal College of Education. There are plenty of institutions that Dr. Pai has set up. And Dr. Pai in 1948 has started an academy of general education. And he picked Professor H. Sundar Rao as the founder principal of this college, this Mahatma Gandhi Memorial College. And Sundar Rao was a man of great discipline and decorum. He established a tradition of academic commitment and a great steadfastness to values. So that is what Sundar Rao was known for. And in 1969, you know, he was hospitalized. He was in the bed. He had a heart attack. And it is at this time that Swami sends a letter to Sundar Rao, assuring him his grace and protection. And then Swami says, I am going to start a college. It is going to become a big college. And it is being set up in an area where I have walked. Every brick of this place is pure, because I myself have walked on this earth. And Swami says, this is going to be a turning point in my education mission. Students here have to be educated on the higher purpose of life. And then Swami said, Sundar Rao, will you come and take over as warden and look after these children? This is the letter that Swami had written to Mr. Sundar Rao. How fortunate is that soul? You know, perhaps his life of great discipline, you know, and adherence to values was being rewarded so handsomely now by the avatar. Swami himself recognizing what he stood for. And Sundar Rao, the moment he recovered from the hospital, immediately he came with his wife and children, and you know, he settled down in Vrindavan to serve Bhagwan. And Swami gave him three tiny rooms just next to the students' dormitory. So he was living with the boys, and he was constantly watching the growth of the students, the growth as Swami would want it. And slowly, from three boys, it became next year 20 boys. And you know, by 1973, there were 60 students. And these students were coming from all over the place. You know, the problem was these students, because they came from all over the place, they had their own habits, their own tendencies. You know, there some people coming from cities. Swami was constantly trying to correct them. And Bhagwantam and Gokak, you know, they were watching all this. And it was Mr. Gokak who was articulating what was happening. You know, he saw the students are doing different kind of activities apart from the academic activities. And that's how he came up with self-reliance. He saw the students doing, you know, dispensing medicine, the student looking after kitchen, looking after the cows, looking after gardening. So all these different ideas that we later on sort of got institutionalized in Swami's educational institutions, Dr. Gokak articulated them, witnessing all this in Vrindavan, living in close proximity of Bhagwan. Now, the challenge for Sundar Rao was great, because you had students who had come from all over the place, and they had come with their own habits and own tendencies. It's not easy to, you can mold school children, perhaps, you know, with some effort, but to mold college-going students is not easy, because they were all coming in with their own ideas, with their own habits, and you know, especially those coming from cities, a lot of unlearning had to be done before they can conform to the discipline that Swami wanted, because you know, the kind of discipline that you have here is not there in any other college outside. So Mr. Sundar Rao had a tough time, and at this point in time, Swami, who was spending a lot of time with the students, used to write also continuously letters to Sundar Rao to guide him whenever he was not in Vrindavan. Let me just share with you, you know, some clips of one letter that Swami had written to Sundar Rao in those initial years, in the first 2-3 years. I will share with you the anguish also that Swami felt when students were not conforming to the discipline. It was a very big task, you know, trying to change their hearts. But that was the focus of Bhagwan's mission as the Vrindavan chapter opened. Let me play for you the excerpt, few excerpts of this letter.
Sundar Rao, anduko aashirvadamlu. Nedu, Venkatramudu, Anupam, vachi, paiki chiti pampinaru. Varlanu, oka varam hostello nundi bayata undunatlu, meeru, Gokaku, telipinatula, vrasaru. Naku chala santoshamainadi. వారముగడు ఎందుకు పెట్టితిరో అర్థం కాలేదు. పూర్తి బయటనే ఉండి చదువుకొనినా మంచిది.
సో హియర్ స్వామి సెలింగ్, సుందర్ రావు, అక్సెప్ట్ మై బ్లెస్సింగ్స్. టుడే అనుపమ్ అండ్ వెంకటరాముడు సెంట్ ఏ చిట్ అప్స్టేర్స్. ఇట్ వాజ్ రిటన్, దట్ చిట్ వాజ్ రిటన్ బై యూ అండ్ గోకాక్, వేర్ ఇన్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఆస్క్డ్ దీస్ టూ బాయ్స్ టు స్టే అవుట్ సైడ్ ది హాస్టల్ ఫర్ 1 week. ఐఎమ్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ విత్ దిస్. స్వామి రైట్, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ విత్ దిస్. I am unable to understand why you restricted it to 1 week. If they stay out completely and study, it is even better. I mean, this is what Swami has written, because, you know, Swami was intolerant in those days for any act of indiscipline. Swami was encouraging Gokak and Sundar Rao to be very strict, because, you know, it was the years when the foundation was being laid for what is discipline in Sathya Sai colleges. Let me play for you another clip.
అసభ్యంగా, అగౌరవంగా, అవినీతిగా ప్రవర్తించే పిల్లలకు అసలు బృందావనంలోనే చోటు ఉండదు. నీతి నిజాయితీలతో ప్రాచీన భారతీయ సంస్కృతిని యువకుల హృదయాలలో చేర్చు నిమిత్తము కాలేజీ స్థాపించితిమి కాని కూటి విద్యలకు తలభారము డిగ్రీలను సంపాదించే నిమిత్తం కాదు. ఇహమునకు ఆ విద్యలు, పరమునకు పరవిద్యలు, రెండింటిని జోడించి సమన్వయపరిచి సత్యమార్గమున సాధు హృదయులకు బాలులకు అందించవలెననే నా ఆశయం.
సో హియర్ స్వామి ఇస్ టెలింగ్, దర్ షుడ్ బి నో ప్లేస్ ఇన్ బృందావన్ ఫర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ హూ బిహేవ్ ఇన్ ఎ మేనర్లెస్ వే వితౌట్ రెస్పెక్ట్ అండ్ మొరాలిటీ. I started this college with the purpose of instilling the ancient culture of Bharat, which is steeped in morality and integrity, and not for accumulating big degrees which will serve only to fill their stomachs. I wish to provide the pure-hearted children the combination of education for this world and self-knowledge for the other world, and they should do this walking on the path of truth. Let me play for you one more clip, and then we'll continue this in the next episode.
Kanna talli kante, kadupuna puttina bidda kante, adhikanga daricherchi, adarinchi, lalinchi, palinchi, ఆనందమును ఊగించిన సాయి దయా ప్రేమలనే అర్థం చేసుకోలేని మూర్ఖులు. అన్యులను గౌరవింతురా. 3 సంవత్సరములు ఉగ్గుపాలతో ఆరగింపచేసిన సాయిమాత ప్రేమకే నోచుకోలేని బండబుద్ధులు బెండుబారవా. అసలు మొత్తము పాతవార్లలో కరడుగొట్టుకున్న రోతబుద్ధులు నీతిలో చేర్చే వరకు వారిని నమ్మ వీలులేదు. క్రొత్త పిల్లలను కూడా పాడు చేయుచున్నారు. క్రొత్తగాని పాతగాని ఎవరైనను మన ఆశయాలను అర్థం చేసుకుని దానికి అనుగుణముగా ప్రవర్తించిననే అందులో అర్హత. లేకున్నా అట్టివారులకు చోటు ఉండదని గట్టిగా చెప్పు. మంచి పిల్లలు 10 మంది ఉండినా చాలు. గాడిద పాలువలే కడవలెందుకు? గోవు పాలువలే స్పూనుడు చాలు.
సో హియర్ స్వామి ఇస్ టెలింగ్, ఫూల్స్ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది ఎనార్మస్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ సాయి, who has loved and cared for them more than any earthly mother can ever do, and who brought them clothes, caressed them, fostered them, and swung them in his blissful motherly love. Can such dull-headed ever give respect to anyone else? Can we refine these dim-witted fellows who could not be touched by the love of Sai, who nursed them for 3 whole years with his immense love, like earthly mothers would feed their newborns? Unless old students with rotten tendencies take to the path of morality, we can never believe them. They are spoiling the new students. You sternly warn everyone, be it old students or new, that only if they understand our ideals and conform to them, they acquire the deservedness to be here, not otherwise. Good students, even if they are just 10 in number, that is enough. Instead of liters of donkey milk, a spoonful of cow milk is better. So Swami is not mincing words here when it comes to discipline. He is unsparing in his comments when it comes to enforcing the conduct that he wants from students, and he wants the warden to be really absolutely unrelaxing when it comes to the students conforming to the routine, conforming to the philosophy, conforming to whatever has been laid down. Because, you know, at that age, students coming from all parts of the country, from the cities, they were a very, very different lot. And we know how difficult it is to control one young mind. And there were like hundreds of them, and there were some in the hostel, there were some staying outside. So it was that phase when Swami was so painstakingly laying the foundation of discipline, which is so very paramount in Swami's institution. In fact, it is because of the way Bhagwan was in that era that discipline became the medium of instruction in the Satya Sai colleges. So there is more to this letter. Maybe we'll continue this in the future episodes of this program. But what I was trying to say is, these are the foundational years of the college, and for Swami, discipline was absolutely essential. That is what, for him, that was more important than, you know, whatever else the students did, even if they were not academically brilliant. For Swami, it was more important that they are morally upright, and he wanted a balance. So this is how, you know, the Vrindavan College started. And in the future episodes of this program, you know, we are going to have this on the first Thursday of every month, the first Outside Inside Deep Inside episode every month will continue this series of learning with love in Vrindavan, and we will share, we will go on in this journey of seeing how Swami molded the students over those 10 years in Vrindavan, and eventually how that led to the coming of the university, and then later on after Trai Vrindavan came the new abode of Bhagwan, how the relationship with students continued and it moved to a new gear. So all that is coming up in the future episodes of this series. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us. As always, with really gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us such a beautiful opportunity to know about him, to ruminate on him, and to contemplate on his story, and to draw the lessons to make our lives, you know, a part of his glory. Really grateful to him. If you have any queries or comments, or if you know anything that we do not know, you know, we are trying to build a story, we are trying to build this history, please feel free to share, dear listeners. If you have any pictures, any images of the early Vrindavan times, or if you know, you know, anything about the people who contributed hugely in the early years of Vrindavan, please share those contact with us, or those pictures, or that information, and we'll try and build this beautiful story of Swami in Vrindavan. As always, if there's anything, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org, BISHU@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sairam.